Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball.
All right, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. The Killer Bee Summer Tour continues.
Killer Bee history.
And I just found out who we have on the line right now. We spoke to Glenn Blackwood the other day. He told a lot of good stories and mentioned his brother and a bunch of them. We bring him on now. Lyle Blackwood joins us, one of the Killer Bees this morning. Lyle, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Joe. Good to be here.
Lyle, man, thank you so much, man. We, your brother was in rare form the other day. Took it to a whole new level, and of course, I told you last night, I said, you know, I can't, when your name pops up either with Bo Camper or Marino, because they always have stories about you, I just start crying with the stories. Do you realize you were in the middle of about half the pranks that took place on those Killer Bee teams?
Well, yes, I do. I had to keep a level of humor and looseness going on around the team that kind of countered Coach Shula.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Nobody did it better. All right, we got to get going. First of all, Marino did an event the other night, and he talked about his first start at the Orange Bowl after he played in a few games, and he said he was really nervous and getting ready to go up. Do you remember what you said to him? Because he remembers like yesterday, you were the guy that walked up to him with a straight face.
Well, I basically told him the game, this whole game and his whole career was based on this on his shoulders, and that he had to go out there and win. So.
He said he just looked at you, and you gave him a straight face like, everything's on you, dude. If you don't play well in this game, your career's done. What made you think of that? Like, you knew how nervous he was. He's getting ready, and thank God he went on to have a Hall of Fame career. But Lyle, like, he just said, of all the things that stuck with him, besides the fact you were involved in stealing of the shoulder pad story, which was phenomenal story, yeah. But that was a great one. Hey, can we get into some of my favorites? Because when I think of Lyle Blackwood, I do have some favorite ones. There was a time we're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and one of the few times during the game when the defense was on the field, you were standing next to me as the tight end was running to the corner wide open with nobody around him in one of the best red zone defenses in the league. Can you help me out?
Yeah. Well, it was the best red zone defense minus Lyle Blackwood. I was supposed to be on the field, and I wasn't on the field. We'd gotten kind of crossways with who was coming in at linebacker, and the linebacker was coming in Brzezinski, and he always when he came in for me, he would come in and I would go out. But he came in for another linebacker, and I didn't understand that, and so I came off the field, and sure enough, they ran that play, and Shula goes, "Whose man is that?" And I went, "Mine." That was the wrong answer. I should have just faded into the group and everything, and let them figure it out. So that's when, you know, because he was vicariously playing through me at that time, and so he was getting mad at himself and mad at me. It wasn't a pretty sight out there, and that was my first exposure to the wrath of Don Shula on the sideline, which my brother Glenn had warned me about, and I just kind of blew it off, saying, "No, it always happens to everybody in the league. I understand. I'm a veteran. I've been around for a long time. This, you know, I'm used to this kind of stuff, and I was not used to this kind of stuff at all." And so, Wayne came off the field and he looked over the bench and I was steaming. This steam was coming up out of my uniform and I was unbelievably ticked that I could be abused so much.
One thing about it.
Up one. As my mom used to say, he went up one side and down the other.
As I was told my rookie year, like, he's going to get everybody. At some point, everybody on this team will feel it, and they were telling the truth. I got to tell you, my favorite story of all time, he's no longer with us, but Robert Sowell coming in and putting his clothes on late with the jock strap and the shorts and getting ready to run into that meeting and watching you load up on that icy hot liquid that you stuck in that jock. I mean, that thing was super wet. One of the greatest pranks gone wrong I've ever seen.
Well, that trick never worked anymore because everybody always knew to go in and grab their bag and smell it all the time. And you know, that was the oldest trick down the pike. But the problem was Robert Sowell was late that day. And so he didn't bother. He threw away all the proper protocol and went right into grabbing his bag and pulling his jock up on him. And as soon as he put it on, and he went, "Oh my gosh!"
And so we heard
his howls from the shower. This was the second best thing you do in the proper protocol for getting out of something like that. You go to the trainer room and wipe that, and you don't go to the shower and put water on.
Oh, it's so much worse. Yeah.
Fire. And so we heard his screams from the shower, and we're laughing during the specialties meeting.
Hey, is that true? Did Shula call you in? I mean, was he was pretty upset. That was a prank gone wrong. Yeah. What was that like?
Yeah. Yeah, that was Shula went up from one side and down the other on that one too. That was the second time. I was kind of used to it, and plus, it was my fault. So because he thought Robert was going to be, you know, he didn't want anybody missing practice, and Robert was going to miss practice as well he should, because he was a very healthy young man at that time, and he's well endowed in that area too. So
that covered a big area, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he was definitely wounded. So.
I got to tell you, nobody. And then Glenn was telling us the Mike Charles story about him running out on the field, had him thinking he was out there for special teams. He ran out there and got in the middle, and he wasn't supposed to be out there. You know how Shula took mental mistakes, or when you didn't go out with the right group, there was just no excuse for that. And Big Mike was, you know, he wasn't always quite there, if you know what I mean. And you guys got him good, and he got his ass chewed so badly, Lyle. Like, how do you think of that kind of stuff that you used to come up with on the sideline at the end of games? That was brilliant.
Well, you're out there and you're in the moment, you know, and you're all keyed up anyway, so you're thinking really weird stuff anyway. So, you know, it just, I don't know, it just happened. I just jumped at the chance to get it done, you know. You know, and it just, I just, you know, for some reason, the game is a serious game, and it's business and everything, and you need to look at it as business. But there were times where it wasn't going to hurt anything to have a little levity in there, and so I just, you know, when a chance came, I took it. So it was just like that, being on the sideline. You know, it was so serious all the time. I just wanted to have a little fun.
And you did. Like, there is no question. By the way, who came up? Somebody came up with the powder in the helmet all the time, and it got me. And most of the time I was paying attention, but sometimes, and put the damn helmet on while you're stretching and getting ready to start practice, and you're going, oh, no, feel the sweat in my eyes, and my eyes are burning.
I can't take credit for that. That was one that was pretty old and down the pike and everything. I did take credit for the one where I would tell the rookies that there was a lady that was, her husband was out of town, and she was, you know, very, very friendly. And, you know, if we wanted to go there, you could, you know, I have some extracurricular activity and everything. And so they would, this is one of the better pranks that I did, and more,
immature. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, immature and sophisticated, both at the same time. I would go walking up, and I'd have a plant in this abandoned house, and the plant we would be walking up, and everybody would be all keyed up about, you know, getting up there and everything. And usually they got real dressed up and shaved and everything else for the same, got their best cologne on. And so when we'd be walking up this road to this house, this dark, it would be a abandoned house, it would be dark. This guy would step out with that hat on and a trench coat on, and a shotgun would blink in there, and he'd shoot a couple in the air. Of course, I would fall down. You know, I'm good. Hit the ground. And they would always take off through whatever. I mean, we had a couple of guys went through cactus and jumped over Popeye. We're running through the woods, and we didn't see them for 2 hours later. We couldn't find them. Until we found them walking up the road with their shirts and their clothes torn and kind of bewildered and everything. So that was a good one also. That was one of my finest efforts.
You had some classics, you and that brother of yours. You know, kind of lost in everything. You had 35 picks in your career. You had 10 one season, 1977. And I went back, and you know, it was funny, the play, and I think a lot of people listen right will remember, Monday Night Football and the Orange Bowl, which was magic. You were a big part of that night. We got a 10-10 game, Monday Night Football against the Eagles, and Jaws must have called timeout or walked away like 10 times in a row, and Shoes is getting mad. You guys are screaming. The crowd refuses to do less. And then the next thing you know, you pick the ball off. We go on and win that game 13-10. That's got to be one of the top moments, right? That, I mean, even going back, that was one of the great games to watch for Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that was a great game, and I was very proud to be able to get that pick, and it was just because of the great teaching of Arnsberger, of him just in the film room and everything, and Glenn and I studying, and you have to become a real student of the game and be more businesslike, and I've attributed that to the rise in my game, because I looked at it at first, I was just playing around with the game and kind of seeing what it could do for me rather than what I could do for it. And so the Arnsberger was a really step up, and Coach Shula was too. I mean, very disciplined practice all the time, a very disciplined approach to the game. And Arnsberger was just a very cerebral coach who just taught us that we needed to be real students of the game and each team that came in.
Right.
And so at that part of the game, I just said, hey, he's going to go to Harold Carmichael. That's who his go-to guy is in this, and they need this. And so I was ready for it. So we did.
Oh, you jumped out like a bad boy right there. You jumped all over that one for an interception. Lyle, I got to tell you the one, and it's so funny because just about as many memories of you as any, walking on the sideline and guys circled around you, and I remember walking over to go, what the hell? This is kind of weird during the game. You apparently broke your nose, and then I look and I go, okay, it's not the first guy to break his nose. Then I see friggin' doctor sticking a needle to numb your nose so you could play. And I thought, Law, you're a crazy. There's something wrong with you. You're a crazy bat. That was crazy. Tell me about doing that deal. You didn't even go inside. Yeah. You just put a bunch of big guys around you.
Well, that was Glenn's fault because Glenn blew a coverage, and I covered for him. And it was Roosevelt Leaks in Buffalo, and came over. Ferguson saw him, and he was going to be a touchdown. And I came over and saw it, and we collided, and his face mask, the middle part of the face mask came between my the top of my helmet and my face mask, and just repositioned my nose. It was a compound fracture of my nose, and actually when I played another play, I recovered a fumble. Glenn hit the guy, and I recovered the fumble, and so we came off to the sideline, and I took my helmet off, and Bruce Hardy looked up and fainted. My nose was bleeding so bad. which I was glad that he did. So, you know, it's worth something. I'm going to be able to stab at him for the rest of his life without training. They gave me a shot there, and then I played the rest of that. And I went inside to the training room, and they gave me another shot, and then they put the sticks up there and pulled it back in place, and then I went back out for the second half.
It was, of all the guys that took needles for every part of their body, and we had some guys take needles places that they would never do in today's game, but I got to tell you, that was one that, like, there were a lot of guys that were pretty tough dudes that were going, he's not doing what I think he's doing. There's no way the doctor's doing that. Like, there's no way. And then I go, yeah, if it's Lyle, then it definitely – can you imagine that
No, I can't. Lyle, I got to jump in here for a second. I've been around Joe for a little bit of a decade plus here on the radio. And was he as bad an influence on the team? Because he tells all these stories, yet when you guys come on and we do this Killer Bee tour, like, over the summer – he never really mentions the parts that he's in. Like, he never told us about the Marino shoulder pad thing when he actually made the ransom call. Like, he didn't – he acts like he's the innocent one. He couldn't have been the innocent one on that team,
I
right?
I loved this guy's pranks. They were classic.
Well, he wanted to be a part of it, so we let him be a part of it. We'll throw this bone to Joe and let him get it. He'll get the – And we needed to pass it on all the time to somebody else. But it was a great prank and a great great call. And then we were just laughing our butts off in our room when Joe did that. That suburban stew comes flying up into the parking lot, you know, kind of. Screeches the deal and jumps out. We see people, scurrying over there across at the equipment room, about what was going on. But that was just classic. We vowed silence. We weren't going to tell anybody because we knew it would be on wafers. If anybody ever found out about that, especially Coach Shula.
Hey, I got to ask you the final one because you're like all of us. Like, hey, I can take it. My dad was pretty tough, and I could take anything. My dad was old school, or my relative, the way I grew up. So, like, I'm used to it. Did the Coach Shula stuff, did it even surprise you a little bit, the way you could be talked to after a mistake? Did it even surprise you? You've been around a lot.
Yeah, I guess it's because I looked up to him so much and everything, and as we all did, because he just had, had this aura about him, and I wanted to play for him too. When I was with the Baltimore Colts, I said, man, I'd like to play for that guy. And I still would play for him. I would just, sometimes you don't like to be talk to that way. You're a 34, 35 year old man, and you're getting your butt chewed out. So you're kind of like, okay, I'm not as big as I thought I was.
I can remember your face. Anytime anybody got riffed, I couldn't wait to see their face, no matter how old they were. That look was just priceless, man. Of like, I can't believe he talked to me like that.
Yeah. We always want to really avoid it, but you'd rush up like it was an accident going to happen. You'd rush up real quick, wanted to get the scoop you wanted to be the first to see the. The guy get his butt completely chewed out, and you kind of walk away, kind of satisfied, like, okay, well, yeah.
Now I feel better. But when you got the double, when you got it on the field, and then you got it in film study, that was called the double chewer. That was beautiful, man. When you got in and you were as mad the second time, like, he friggin' got me again. I just thought about it all day on the off day, and I got ripped friggin' again by the guy.
Well, yeah, it's like a death, there's a mourning period and then a kind of anger period and all that. And so in the game, you kind of go through that after the game and everything, and you cool down and go, okay, it's going to be over with. I just got to work through this and everything, and I'm you go to counseling that the next day, and the counselor works good everything. And then you go into the meeting on Tuesday, and there it is, bam, it hits you again. You got to go spend another $100.
Yeah, right. go talk to the counselor again.
Oh,
wow, this has been great, man. I appreciate you getting up from Texas with us this morning and sharing a little bit. You are special,
classic,
man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lyle. I appreciate it.
Well, you appreciate it. Thanks, Joe.
All right, Lyle Blackwood.
Wow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.